Okay, this is Monday, March 17th, and the topic this month is permission.
Good evening. Good evening. I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. I hope that is finally sinking into everyone, that you are a god or you are a goddess, and you have to know that because you create things, and that's what gods do. Gods create. This one that we call God, we say created the whole universe and this, that, and the other thing. But we have to realize that we are part of all that creation, and we are able to create things for ourselves. And what this class is all about, or what metaphysics is all about, is learning to create the reality that you want, or the life that you want to lead, instead of becoming a puppet to your conditioning, or a puppet to the culture or the society that you live in, or the world itself, and just going along blindly, thinking, oh, well, there's nothing I can do about anything. You can always do something about anything. You can change. And we change by changing our attitudes, our viewpoints, our beliefs. We change our mind, and we start to see things differently. At the beginning of the month, I told you the idea about putting on your love glasses in the morning, and saying to yourself, I'm putting on my love glasses, and I'm going to see the world through the eyes of love. If you see the world through the eyes of love, you will start to see that. The world is not what we assume it to be. If you listen to the news and all that, you'll get a very bad impression of what's going on out there. And that is not what we want. We want to be able to see the world differently. And the only way you can see anything differently is by changing your mind. Because you always see with your mind, not your eyes. And if you're a puppet of the conditioning and you're allowing the world to tell you what things are about, then you're not using this wonderful gift called the mind. So your mind can change. You can believe anything that you want to believe. And you don't have to believe anything if you don't want to. But you have to realize that it's up to you what you want to do. And if you want to take control of your life and change it so that you're not leading a life the way the rest of the people out there are, with all the nits and fleas of life, with all the ups and downs, with all the emotional upsets and so forth, with that, the taking things personally and all, you have to change your mind about that whole thing and realize, I can do this. I don't have to do this. And we know many people, and we learn from people, of course. You see them, they have hurt feelings and so forth. They're just, it's a ridiculous. We have to grow up emotionally, along with growing up spiritually. You have to grow up. Most people are still operating from that five-year-old person. They still think they're a five-year-old. That's why we get into all the trouble we're in. We get hurt all the time. And the world gets hurt, and that's why we get into all these messes in the world and the wars and all this kind of stuff, because five-year-old people are running. So you have to say to yourself, is my five-year-old running my life now, or am I running my life? We make a lot of decisions in our life between when we first come here to the age of five. We start to assume that the world is what we see, what we hear about because of the family we grew up in, all that. And we have to now say, that's not working too well for me. I think I'll change my mind about this whole thing and see the world differently. And, of course, see yourself differently. You have to do that constantly. I was at dinner last night and somebody said, well, what do you actually do? And what do you teach? And I said, well, I try to teach people to love themselves. I try to teach people that they are worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter. You see? And that's what we've been talking about all these years. All the rest that I talk about is just filler. Just filler. If you get that, those points, and you start to accept that and know that about yourself, your life will change. All right, we have... Oh, well, the not too well. People do not like to hear the truth. And when they're in that type of a situation, they want to hear what they're thinking. And I very rarely am able, I know what they're thinking, and I don't want to think that. So I'm not going to tell them that, you see. I'm going to say, can't you look at it a little bit differently? Remember, I used to say there's a completely different way to go through life than most people do. There's a different way to go through life. You don't have to go through life the way the rest of the people are going through life. They're just puppets of their conditioning, and they just keep on going and going and going. And they spend a lot of time invested in that. And they say to themselves, this is who I am. And I'm this way because I was raised this way, and this is what was my education, and this is the way my parents were, and da-da-da-da-da-da. Who cares? Change your mind about yourself. Change your mind about the world. So, this one from Daily Word, let's go over this one quickly. I am free to express my Christ nature. Now, here again, this idea of Christ nature, that just means that there's a higher consciousness inside of you. It doesn't have anything to do with Jesus Christ, people. It's a Christ consciousness. And anyone can obtain a Christ consciousness. Anyone can do that. You have to work on it, but you can obtain that. So it has nothing to do with Christianity. Anchored in truth, I am not swayed by the tides of worldly opinion. And we're constantly swayed by the world. The media may choose to focus on limitations, fear, strife, and discord. I choose to stay centered in divine power and wisdom. I speak and act in congruence with the Christ in me. Here again, that idea of a higher consciousness inside of you, to look at things differently. No matter what is happening in the world, I focus on spirit and truth. Remember, the world is always focused on facts, and facts change. How many facts have you learned and now they're not true? But if you focus on the truth, it's always the truth. You cannot get past that. So don't let yourself get tied up with all those facts that are out there floating around. They're only facts. The Christ within provides comfort, strength, guidance, and freedom. I stand strong and confident, knowing that all is well. And that's what you have to do. You have to know that all is well. Divine love releases me from fear. You see, the whole world is run by fear. You know, that's the main thing about the world. And how do people sell anything? They sell it through fear. You know, aren't you afraid this is going to happen? Aren't you afraid, you know, they sell it to you. Don't buy into that. Divine understanding and wisdom guide me to peace and assurance. I journey boldly through life, freely expressing God's goodness, peace, light, and love. Peace, light, and love. And that's what you want to see out there. Whether you believe in this thing called God, whether you believe in any of that stuff, believe in yourself and say to yourself, there's a different way to look at this. I don't want that going on in my life. Here's what I want. Here's the way I want to see life. And you will start to see life that way. So now here, this one I brought in because we often talk about this one. And somebody said this to me. Before entering a hospital room of a tuberculosis patient, visitors are required to cover their entire bodies. They even don surgical gloves and face masks. None of us balk at this seemingly overcautious behavior. We don't want to catch tuberculosis. It's contagious. For goodness sake, of course we go to great lengths to avoid being exposed. Yet, we never protect ourselves from the bad news we see on television. Do not watch news on television. It'll filter in and tell you everything is crazy out there. The horrible reports we read in the newspapers, what we see on the nightly news, is nothing like what we see in our own neighborhoods. Remember I told you they had that statistic that a car is stolen every 3 seconds? I stood for an hour on my street. I didn't know cars got stolen. No cars got stolen. So why would I believe that? You know, I get phone calls. Do you know that every 3 seconds somebody falls over, you know, falls down? Wouldn't you like a life alert? I said, no, thank you. Hang up. I'm about ready to fall down. Thank you very much. They also always want to sell me a walk-in tub.
Yes,
the walk-in tub. I don't want them.
The jacuzzi tub.
Yeah. The new media presents a glossy, distorted picture, an anomaly. You see, I don't know how they figure this out, but they say the news that is reported to us is only 5% of the stuff that's going on. 95% of the stuff that's going on is good. But if you focus on the 5%, you think, oh, the whole world is going to hell in a handbasket. The world's not going to hell in a handbasket. Don't listen to that news and all that kind of stuff. I don't listen to any of it. Somebody called to ask me about that airline. I said, I didn't know one was missing, thank you. And I don't want to know that stuff. And people sometimes call me from across the country. Spend that money and all that time calling me. I say, no, thank you. And unfortunately, the picture of America, the ugly, is every bit as contagious and damaging as those tuberculosis germs. Poet and novelist, and we've done this one, this is why I brought that in, because we often talk about Maya Angelou, goes so far as to call negativity poison. She is vigilant in protecting herself from negative conversation. If she hears what she calls a poisonous comment, she quickly says, sayonara, and doesn't feel a bit guilty about it. If anyone starts at her home, she asks them to leave. They say, don't leave people in your house that are talking negativity. It gets in the walls. It gets everywhere, people. And then you start to feel bad about that. Don't do it. If you allow it, negativity, to perch in your home, your mind, in your life, it can take you over. So when rude or cruel things happen, I say, take it out of my house. Those negative words climb into the into the wood and into the furniture, and the next thing, they'll be in your skin, she says. And this is what happened. You know, that's that old idea of birds of a feather flock together. Negative people will flock to each other because they want to hear all the negative stuff, you know. Who wants to hear that negative stuff? You know, I have that friend that always wants to tell me about his operations. And I say to him, I don't want to hear about your operations, you know. I don't. Do you think he would stop calling? But he loves to go through all that. And I just, oh, please, I don't want to. She prefers what Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians. They wrote complaining about old men who were chasing young women. Well, what's new there? About church members who refused to tithe. And he wrote back, if there's anything of good report, speak of these things. Anything of good report, speak of these things. Don't let that, you know, who cares, you know. I hear people say, oh, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. I don't care what the other people do. I'm going to focus on what the people do, the good part that they're doing. Not, you know, anyone can pick something apart. Don't do it. Your thoughts are magic. Now, there's a great one. Your thoughts are magic. Thoughts go someplace and they do something, people. We often talk about Emmett Fox. And Emmett Fox is a great one for thoughts going someplace and doing something. Well, I may be wrong about this. I'll have to look it up again. But many people think that thoughts are the highest form of life you can have. That thought forms are the highest form of life you can have. So you have to watch your thinking. Always it's about thinking. Not one of them goes unheeded. Oh, here. Not one of them goes unheeded by the universe. Whatever it is you think and feel, the great universe energy stands up and says, I second it. I second it. And that's the universe does that. So if you say you can't, the universe says you're absolutely right. You can't. And if you say you can, the universe says you're absolutely right. You can. So here again is the choice. Which one do you want? And I think I told you this. If you want to prove that to yourself, that the universe does this, remind yourself of the echo. If you scream out, I can't, what comes back to you? The echo, I can't. So think of that. It's going out into the universe and it's coming back exactly the way you put it out there. You know, your word has power. Your word always has power. Does anyone remember how the Bible start? The first sentence in the Bible?
In the beginning there was the Word.
In the beginning it was the Word. This thing that we call God, which we don't know anything about that, but that is a vibration. Words, when you speak, you're sending out a vibration. That vibration goes out. It collects things and it brings it back to you. So if you're sending out negativity, you're going to get negativity back. If you send out positive things are going to come back to you. Very easy, very simple concept. But we don't, most of the time, we don't believe that because people aren't doing it. But try it. Well, life's an experiment, you know. Just try it. See what happens. It can't hurt you. Why cast your spotlight in dirty corners? Why focus on negativity? Now, isn't that a lovely one? Why do you want to focus on that? Do you remember how many times I said to you, if there's a beautiful rose garden on this side and a junk pile on that side, now you have a choice. Where are you going to put your focus? Do you want to look at the junk? Wouldn't you rather look at the roses? It just means looking in a different direction. Which reminds me, metaphysically, everyone has heard this. Turn the other cheek in the Bible. Turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek means turn and look in a different direction. It doesn't mean turn the other cheek so somebody can slap you. Turn the other cheek. Turn it in the direction you want it to go in. But most people want to look at the garbage. They get interested in the garbage. They want to pick through the garbage and so forth. I'd rather pick through the flowers and the roses. Who wants garbage around? Easy. Choice again. Life is just a choice. That's all life is. You can choose to believe anything you want. You can choose to see what you want to see. That's it. That's the way it works. Our thoughts about ourselves, about our world, about our relationships create our reality. So, what are you thinking? Are you holding yourself always in the highest of esteem? Are you always having abundant thoughts and prosperous thoughts? Or are you going to go in to lack and limitation, which is what the world teaches? The world always teaches lack and limitation. It always tells you there's not enough. There's not enough of this, there's not enough of that, blah, 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 blah. And here again, I say, if you want to prove that wrong, go into Whole Foods and see how much, just look at the apples and oranges stacked up to the ceiling. There's plenty out there. Look at that. Don't look at the scarcity in life. Okay, where was I? Oh, in a landmark physics experiment, researchers who theorized that light waves were curvy found curvy light waves, and those who deduced light waves were straight, as Billy Graham, I don't know where I got that, they found Billy Graham's straight light waves. Well, that one has been proved all over, because that's quantum physics. And if the researcher is researching, let's say, a quirk, and he believes that the quirk is going to be solid, the quirk is solid. If he believes the quirk is going to be a wave, it becomes a wave. That is done with your thinking. That is done with your mind. Those little things, which are the subatomic particles of the universe, obey your thinking. They obey your thinking. So, use your own mind to do that for you. Who needs a mind reader or a psychologist to dredge up all the unburied unconsciousness? If you want to know what if you want to know what there, just take a look around. It's all right there in the living color. If your eyes see dysfunctional relationships, finances that are always a struggle, a word of snooty sales clerks, then that's what you're spending your time thinking about. In fact, the thoughts come first. It's always thoughts and then actions. You must always think first before you can do anything. And we have a wonderful little buzz thing in metaphysics, which says, what you think about, you bring about. So what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Change your thoughts and your focus, and you can literally change your world. Now, this Pam Grout is the author of 16 books, including E-Squared, Do-It-Yourself Energy Experiments That Prove Your Thoughts Create Your Reality. That's a great book, by the way. I've already read that one. And she does prove. She has experiments so that you can prove what power you actually have and what power your thoughts have for you. It's always done with the mind. And I think I've said this so many times, and I'll say it again. This whole teaching is about one thing and one thing only. It's about mind. And it's about your mind. So many people think it's about the mind of God. Well, yes, because we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. But we can't change the mind of God. But we can change our mind. And we can raise ourselves up in consciousness where we're thinking God thoughts after it, or universal thoughts or something, instead of letting the outside world tell us what's going on. The outside world, newspapers and all that kind of stuff, they want to dramatize everything to sell newspapers or to sell the news on TV. I haven't watched the news or read a newspaper in, I don't know, 30, 40 years now. And I can function quite well without knowing any of that stuff. I don't have to know what's going on there. Oh, wouldn't you like to know what's going on? No, thank you. I don't want to know what's going on, because it's only 5%. So give yourself permission to give up the 11 o'clock news. Why do you want to go to bed after you see all that carnage that's going on in the 11 o'clock news and you think, oh, no, I'm going to sleep really well tonight? I don't think so. Your mind's now thinking of all that crazy stuff that's going on. Who killed whom? What country did this to what country? And it doesn't make sense, people. And you don't need it. If you want to build your own life and your own reality, stop doing what everybody else is doing. See, we think we have to be just like everybody else. It's the consensus of everybody else. You know? You cannot sit and say to yourself, I'm an individualized expression of this thing we call God, and then want to be like everybody else. You know, I have never wanted to be like everybody else. You know? Now, if I find somebody with good qualities and so forth, I may imitate them and I may take them and say, oh, I could have that too, I could have that. You see? Excuse me. The same way, intrinsically in you are all the qualities of this thing that we call God. So look inside of yourself and pull out those qualities and say, I can do this. I can pick these qualities. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be nasty. I lived that life, by the way. And I was good at it. Mm-hmm. I was a nasty, nasty person, and I was very good at it and very proud of myself. I could, you know, they called me the guy with the stainless steel tongue because I could go right through somebody. To a friend of mine, her name was Betty Norris, came up to me one day and she said, you know, Dale, it's easy to hurt. Why don't you try helping? You see? And it dawned on me, oh, I can heal people. I don't have to hurt people. I can heal them. And I can help them heal. You see? And you can pull that quality. We all have that quality inside of us, you know. But you have to choose that. We're all healers, by the way. Remember? All healers. Which reminds me of our friend Rhoda. She used to say, sarcasm cuts the flesh. Sarcasm cuts the flesh. And I was very sarcastic. I grew up in a family that were very sarcastic. We had to be one-upmanship all the time. We had to be more sarcastic than the other person. And we called that a family. And I lived in that family for the longest time before I realized, my God, it's dysfunctional. We don't need this in our life. I met other people and visited their family. And so, oh my God, they seem to like each other and they're talking decent to each other. And this is what you do. You have to give yourself permission to do this. And if you're doing any of these things, stop doing them and give yourself permission to change. But we're taught, oh, that's the way you were and that's the way you're always going to be. And that family was always that way and this way and all. And today, by the way, is St. Patrick's Day. And what do we know about St. Patrick's Day? To be a puppet of your upbringing and conditioning. Well, we always think that the Irish people are drunks, especially at St. Patrick's Day. They all go out and get drunk. And that's the Irish. And what else do we know about the Irish? You see, my mother was Irish. And what do we know about it? And I got away with this for years, by the way. It was all right for me to have a temper because I was part Irish. Irish people always have tempers.
Mm-hmm. And red hair and freckles.
Yes. That's an out-and-out lie. You don't have to have a temper. You don't have to have a temper. I learned that from my family, and I learned that from people saying you're Irish and it's all right to have a temper. You know, it's not all right to have a temper. You know, that hurts people, and it hurts you if you really think about it. So give yourself permission not to do that to yourself, to change that characteristic. You can change any characteristic that you have. And I have proven this, so I know it's true. If I can do it, I'm nobody special. If I can do it, you can do it. You can change any quality about yourself. Which reminds me also that you can have any virtue that you want. William Shakespeare said, assume a virtue if you have it not. Just assume that you have it and it will come to you. You will start to do it. Remember in the 1970s, that was the human potential movement, and they came up with the idea, act as if. Act as if you're this, that, the other thing, and you will become that. And that's what this teaching is all about. You start to act as if. You act as if you already have it, and you will have it. But you don't start out by saying, I don't have that, that person has that quality, I don't have that, I wasn't born with that. We're all born the same. Now, some people have been given more opportunities and so forth. But you can't use that one either. You see, you can't, in this teaching, you can't blame anybody. You can't even blame yourself. But you always have to look at yourself. What am I doing? What am I causing here? Why am I causing this? Because you're always going to be the cause onto your own experience. You're going to be the one that's doing it. No one is doing it. And we have so many people, remember, who want to blame their mother and father for everything. Stop blaming your mother and father for anything. Don't take that personally. They'd have done it to anybody. They would have done it to anybody. They didn't know. So now you look at that and you forgive them and you forgive yourself for falling into that and you forgive yourself from being a puppet of your conditioning. You have to start to realize, oh, that really isn't me. Where is that thought coming from? Where is that thought coming from? Once you realize that the thoughts that are going on in you are usually coming from somewhere else, they're not really coming from you, they're coming from your conditioning. I tell the story about in yoga class when I was doing bowing meditation, and we were supposed to do 1,000 bows. It took me 4 hours. And a door was squeaking. Somewhere a door was squeaking. That irritated the hell out of me. But I kept bowing. Finally, it dawned on me. Well, that was my mother. She was always irritated over any kind of a squeak. It had nothing to do with me. As soon as I realized that's not my thought, that's her thought. Poof. 1,000 bows in no time. You have to see, where did that thought come from? Who was the first one to put that thought in your head? Why are you irritated about that? You have to notice what's going on in your thinking and then get rid of it. We have to grow up emotionally. We have to grow up emotionally. And we can all do that. It's not that difficult. Just requires noticing, becoming aware of what you're doing. See? Just become aware of what you're doing. And you can change yourself and make yourself into the person that you want. But the main thing is, don't you want to go through this life being fulfilled and happy and peaceful and all those things? You don't want the rest of that stuff that I call the nits and fleas of life that everyone else seems to have, and they think that that's all right. They think that struggle and all that is good. You're saying? The more I struggle, the better I'm going to become. No, the worse you're going to become. You're an idiot if you struggle. You know? Really. You are. Don't do it to yourself. There's no grace in struggling. Many people think it's a badge of courage. Oh, that person struggled so. Why should that be a badge of courage? I think it's a badge of stupidity. Well, figure out how not to struggle, and you'll stop struggling. Same thing goes for worry. Remember, the master teacher Jesus said, worry will not add one cubit to you. A cubit is a form of measurement. It won't add anything to you to worry. But we were taught as children, the more you worry about that test, the more you worry about something, the better it's going to be. Well, one never was it? And if you have cleared your mind, you'd have probably got an A+. But worry, we think that worry adds something to us. Worry doesn't add anything to us. And why do we want to worry if we make the big statements that we're being taken care of, that this thing called the universe is friendly, you see, that nothing is going to happen to me, that all is in divine right order, and then we sit around worrying? So we didn't get the message, did we? The message of worry comes from the world outside, people. The world is very, very convincing. Do not allow the world to convince you. Do not allow the world to convince you. You are not your mind. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. Learn to use your mind correctly. Now we'll go back to Ernest Holmes and Science of Mind. Ernest Holmes said that you must learn to think the thought that you want to think. And you must learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. That you want to feel. You see? You have to train your mind to do that. You have to train your mind to think what you want it to think. Takes a little effort sometimes, but it can be done. I changed my mind. Remember when I told the story 30, 40 years ago? When my alarm clock would go off, my mind would say to me, well, Dallas, you better get up. You're not going to amount to a hill of beans. Now, when my alarm clock goes off, it says, good morning, Dallas. You're going to have a wonderful day. See, isn't that a much better thing? But I had to change my mind about that. I had to tell my mind, this is what I want to hear. I don't want to hear all this other stuff anymore. And my mind used to say to me in the morning, hit the deck, hit the deck. My father was in the Navy. That's where I got that hit the deck routine. That wasn't my thought, that's his thought. So we have to learn to think the thoughts for ourselves. And we have to learn to think bigger, better thoughts about ourselves. Bigger, better thoughts about yourself. You can do it. Well, no one ever told me that. Oh, so what? No one ever told you. Tell yourself that now. You know? Well, my parents, I don't care what your parents told you or what they didn't tell you. Now start to tell yourself what you want to hear. You see? You can't blame the world. You can't blame your parents. You can't blame anything. Now you have to take full responsibility for your life. And you have to take full responsibility for your thinking. And it makes all the difference in the world. You know, you can't play the blame game. You just can't do it. The world's doing that. The world's always doing that. It's blaming somebody, and it's always coming up with a cause. That person made me do this. No one made you do anything. You chose to do what you're doing. Now, maybe they influenced you, but you have to realize that. I'm not going to let them influence me. I'm not going to let the world influence me. You see, I can stand up to the world. I can stand up to the world. And you'll be able to do that. I will give you a metaphysical example of that. Straight from this thing we call the Bible. And that is the story of Samson and Goliath. Everyone was afraid of Goliath because he was so big. We're afraid of our problems because we let them become Goliath. Big, 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 big. Here's this little child comes out with a slingshot and a little stone, bangs that Goliath right there, and Goliath drops over. You see, armies could not put Goliath down because they saw a big giant. So that's too big for me. We cannot conquer that. The little boy said, down. So think of that in your life when the big problems come up and say, I'm not going to let Goliath get me. I have a slingshot of my own and I can shoot that Goliath right down. And that's across your life. It doesn't matter. You see? It doesn't matter. Goliath's always going to pop up. It's an archetype. It's always going to pop up in your life. Don't believe it. Get your slingshot out. And say to yourself, I'm getting my slingshot out. I know how to take care of this. And you will be able to take care of it. You see? So give yourself permission to do those things. It's all about permission. You can do anything. But first of all, you have to give yourself permission. Most people are waiting around for somebody else to give them permission to do something. Well, you'll wait the rest of your life. People don't, they're not going to give you permission to do something. If you want to do something, make up your mind and do it. You are your own authority in life. And you are always the cause under your own experience. You're the cause. You're causing everything in your life. Nothing outside of life is causing anything. Your mind is causing everything. Your thinking is causing everything. And as soon as you realize that, it makes life easy because now what is the only thing you have to do? Change your mind. That's the only thing. You know, you don't have to do 10 different processes. You have to do one process. Change your mind. Everyone thinks, oh, I have to do all this. Start to take this step, this step, this step. Whatever. Or I have to reach this level, this level, this level. You don't have to reach any levels. I hate that when people say, oh, you're on level 1. You can go to level 10. Oh, please. Say to yourself, I'm already at level 10. I don't need to do those other things. And you'll be able to do it. Give yourself permission to do those things. The world has us conditioned to believe that. You're saying to believe, oh, you're not old enough yet. Wait till you get older, and then you'll be able to do that. I don't believe that one either. I'm not saying a little child can do things that a grown-up can't. But as you grow, you have to realize that you can do these things. I don't care what your world told you. Do not buy into that world. Do not buy into that world. And realize that you're always a puppet of your conditioning. Always a puppet of your conditioning. A teacher years ago said, if you want to figure that out, look at it this way. If you would have been raised on the Riviera by two lesbians, you would look at life differently. You see? So look at life differently. That's all it requires, is to look at life differently. Look at life differently. Change your mind, change your life. But most people want to work on the outside of life. They want to change everything around on the outside of life. And once they get all that stuff arranged on the outside of life, they think, oh, now I'll be happy, I'll be content, and I'll be fulfilled and all this. Well, you'll never do it. You may live in the best places. And I know tons of people living in the best place. I used to work for a man. He had more money than he knew what to do with and was very successful. But every morning, I was afraid I'd walk in and find him dead because he was suicidal. Didn't help him at all because he didn't like himself. He wasn't sort of, he was a sleaze bag, is exactly what he was. I didn't tell him that. I thought, let him figure that out for himself. But he had all that. He had cars and houses and, oh my God, he had everything. But it wasn't happy. The idea is to be happy in life. The idea is to be happy in life. I mean, we have this wonderful experience that we call life. And we don't know if we're going to repeat this life. We have those people who think, you know, maybe they'll come back. Have any of you known anyone that has come back? Well, if you're going to come back, it seems to me in all these years, you'd have run into somebody. You say, I've never run into somebody that has come back. And people say to me, well, do you believe in reincarnation? And I say to them, it's not that I don't believe in reincarnation, or I do believe in reincarnation. The thing is, I've been in a room with people who say they have been reincarnated, and you run into 3 or 4 Cleopatras. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I was Cleopatra in my last life or in another life. You were? And oh, yeah. You were too? You were? Now, that can't be right. No. That can't be right. You can't have. No, you can't have 3 or 4 Cleopatras or a mirror. You were Cleopatra. Yeah, you heard people say that. Yeah. And I would always, what gets me, here's what always gets me with reincarnation. Did anyone ever say to him, oh, yeah, I was a slave in my last life? Does anyone ever buck up and say that? No, they were always royalty and kings and queens. They were always all this other stuff. So, maybe you come back, maybe you don't. But the thing is, you're here now. And this is the only time that you have. So why don't you enjoy this life now? And it's a fragile thing. We don't know how long we're going to be here. So make your life happy. Give yourself permission to be happy right here and right now. Give yourself permission to change anything about yourself that you do not like. You can do that. You're not stuck with anything. I was not stuck with an Irish temper. You see? I got rid of my temper. And I was not stuck with the idea that I was an alcoholic. I grew up in a family of alcoholics.
Because they were Irish?
Yes, because they were Irish. Mm-hmm. And I drank at that. I drank a great deal. To one day I said, this is ridiculous. And I changed. And I changed. And people said to me, well, did you go to one of those meetings? AA. Or AA meetings? I said, yeah, I went to 3 and I couldn't stand the people. So I said, if I want to do this, I can do it on my own. Mm-hmm. And but you're an alcoholic. I said, I do not believe that, because I raised up in consciousness. I changed my mind. I don't have that alcoholic mind anymore. That person that was an alcoholic no longer exists. They're somewhere in the past. Somewhere in the past. You know, I could bathe in alcohol and never be tempted to drink it. Never be tempted to drink it. because you can raise above those things. And that's what I want you to do. Give yourself permission to raise up in consciousness to a new type of thinking. A thinking that's bigger and better than you're doing right now. You can do that. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing between your ears. Called a mind. And you can learn how to use it. And you can develop any quality that you want. So do that for yourself. Give yourself permission to do that. To become more and more and more. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.